First Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust, and not before the saints? Do we not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother go to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye yet not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong, and defraud that your brother. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 5. Remember the last few Sundays in speaking about why God saved us. Not one of us is deserving of salvation. God tells us that we were saved to the praise and glory of God. That's it. We're not worthy of salvation. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. Salvation, God tells us, is a gift of God. God has before the foundation elected a people to salvation for his own glory. We all deserve the same thing. We all deserve to be destroyed forevermore. But God, he has demonstrated his love to us through Christ, because Christ is God himself. He paid the penalty for the sins of his elect. We're children of wrath, the Bible tells us, even as others. Why God saved this one and saved that one, we don't know. That's God's business. But God, in his mercy, decided to save a people for himself, for his own glory. But when man rebelled against God, when man sinned, when Adam sinned against God, it was a terrible thing that they did. Terrible. Sin is transgression against the law of God. God tells us the law, the wages of sin is death. Same law he gave to Adam in the Garden of Eden. In the day you eat of this tree, you will die. See, the wages of sin is death. And if you look at Romans chapter 5, God paints a picture of the human race that is not good. It's not good at all. And he's not speaking about the animals. God is speaking about me and you. You see, he's not speaking about some creature in outer space. He's speaking to you and I who were made in the image of God. You see, and we read Romans 5 verse 19. Here God tells us. It says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners," which is Adam. Adam, his disobedience to God, and it plunged the whole world, all of us, into sin. Man's disobedience against God. And God goes on, and "For by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous," which is Christ. Not speaking about everybody going to God's elect. But when you go back over to Genesis, chapter 2, where it all began, God tells us about it in Genesis chapter, I think it's 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, God says, "And Jehovah," let's break into the middle of the chapter, "and Jehovah God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." It's a command of God. You see in verse 8, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. See, the wages of sin is death. And the day you disobey me, Adam, you will die. We know they didn't fall over dead right there. Adam went on to live, how many years was that? I forgot how many years he lived. 930? I think he went on to live, probably, I think it's about 930 years he lived. But they didn't fall down dead right then and there. You see, but this is the law of God. Man is a terrible thing he did by rebelling against God. And when we sin, no matter what sin it might be, it could be a little tiny white lie or whatever, a lie is a lie, because God tells us all liars, at the end of the day, it's going to be destroyed. Whether it's a little lie or a big lie, sin is terrible rebellion against God. And we see the end result of sin in our lives and in this world. Why do you think this world is so wicked? It's man's rebellion against God. You see, sin destroys everything. Families, your own life. Sin just destroys. It destroys. The sin is never good. And one of the reasons why we sin, because sin brings certain pleasure to us. Sin, look at what verse is that in Romans, I believe. Romans 2. Sin brings certain pleasures to our flesh, but it's never good. Romans 1. And at the end of the chapter, Romans 1, God lists all those sins there, a number of sins. But when we read verse 32 of Romans 1, God says, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." See, sin brings certain pleasures to our flesh. You see, that's why we do it. Could be a drunkard. Could be a drug addict. You could be a liar. You could be a covetous person. You name it. See, sin brings certain pleasures to us, but the end result of it is death. You see, that sin is working something out in us. You see, it's disobedience against God, and it brings death. The wages of sin is death. That's like we see in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." And back over there in Genesis 2, God told Adam, "The day you eat of this tree, you will die." See what you see? What sin does? Always pointing to death. It's horrible rebellion against God. What sin is? Sin is never good. Sin is never good. And even those who are not saved, if they live a clean, moral life, they could live a reasonably decent life, because to a certain degree, God's law is on our heart. You see, God restrains sin in unsaved man, and in this world, he restrains sin. And we could live reasonably well, good life, although that person might not be saved. And they could, because they're doing certain things. You know, he's not being a drunk. He's not committing adultery. He's not doing these things. But that's what sin is. Sin is a terrible thing. And when we go through the book of Genesis, we see how sin, how what man's rebellion, you see man's fall, and you see sin begin to multiply in the world at that day. And then look at Genesis, you go to Genesis chapter 3, and all those chapters you see man's rebellion and all these things. And then when you go on over to Genesis chapter 4, you see murder, like in Genesis chapter 4 verse 8, and Cain talked with with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. He killed him. You see how? You see murder? The first sin that God lists there is murder. Killed his brother. And when you read on through Genesis, then you see sin multiply until you come to Genesis chapter 6, where now went on for thousands of years later, the multiplication of sin, until you come to Genesis chapter 6, to the flood of Noah's day. Turn over to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, Genesis 6 verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth. After several thousand years have passed, you see the multiplication of sin. Now God has decided now to destroy the earth of that day. The surface of it he destroyed. The world wasn't completely destroyed. God destroyed the surface of the earth by flood because man's rebellion, the multiplication of sin. As man began to multiply upon the face of the earth, you see the multiplication of sin. And here we see in Genesis 6 verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, you see, was only evil continually. See, the heart. See what our problem is? It's our heart. You see, our heart. Remember, before we're saved, our heart. God has to give us a new heart. A new heart. And only God can do it. Remember, we cannot save ourselves. God does it. He has to give me a new heart. You see, and here we see that now his heart was evil continually. Sin. And then we see that God destroyed the earth. And verse 6 of Genesis 6, he says, And it repented Jehovah that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And Jehovah said, I will destroy man whom I have created. And here God has taken full responsibility for destroying the earth. See, he says here, and Jehovah said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made man. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Jehovah. And that's what we need to find. And when somebody has become saved, God has saved somebody, they have found grace in the eyes of God. But you see, God is taking full responsibility for destroying man. And you see, he repeats it again, I believe, in verse... let's look at verse 12 of Genesis 6, 12 and 13. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. See, God is taking full responsibility for destroying the earth because of man's rebellion against God. Comes a time when God now will, he destroyed the earth of that day, and so in our day, when the time has come, God will destroy this universe. God will do it, not man. You see, sin, but it's the problem here with mankind, it is his heart, that our heart, that's what needs to be changed. And only God can do it. That's why we know that salvation is a mighty miracle of God. Only God can save anyone. Remember that familiar verse there in Psalm 58? Psalm 58, remember that verse? Let's turn there for a minute. Psalm 58. verse 1. Remember now, God is speaking about you and me. Do we indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do we judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? Yea, in heart. Remember what they were doing in Genesis 6? Man was doing what? He was rebelling against God, and his thoughts, his imagination of his heart, our imagination of our hearts is evil from our youth. We're wicked. And ye in heart, ye work wickedness. Ye weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. The poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers charming ever so wisely. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth in the young lion, O Jehovah. Let them melt away as waters which run continually. When he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces. And as a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the thorns, you shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judgeth in the earth. So you see how what our problem is. It's our heart that needs to be changed. Other than that, there is no hope for anybody, because we're going to do what comes natural, which is rebelling against God. We love sin. You see, until God saves us, then we will continue on that path until we die physically, or even until God destroys the earth. But this is the picture that God paints. And remember, in Matthew 15, remember that familiar verse there in verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. The heart, our heart, that's our problem. Our heart, we have a wicked, evil heart before God saves us. That's why, you know, when God saves us, we can't take any credit for it. That's why God gets all the praise and glory for saving anyone. We can't, from the moment you say you did something, then, you know, it's a work. You see, God has to do that mighty miracle of salvation in us and give us a new heart. Other than that, we cannot save ourselves. Remember what God says to us, it's easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle and for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. We can't save ourselves. You see, it says, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. See, what comes out of our heart is wickedness. And this is, God is speaking about us. He's not some, as I said, animal or whatever he is. He's speaking about to us who were made in the image of God. He's speaking to man, the highest form of his creation. Because, you see, he's talking to us. And God can tell us, you know, he could look within our heart and see us. He sees the evil. He knows everything. There's nothing that escaped the eyes of God, you see. And he knows it. So, you know, that's why when he saves us, when somebody's truly become a child of God, you can't but give God the glory. True believers want to glorify God in your life and all what they do, because now they God has opened their spiritual understanding, and we begin to see, and we can't but, oh Lord, thank you for saving me. Is that for the mercy of God that he saved us? And we're not deserving of it. Not one of us are deserving of God's forgiveness and God's mercy. So you see, we begin to see that the picture he paints of us. And when you read Romans chapter 3 and many, many other passages in the Bible, when God says there's none that seeketh after him, none, on God's terms, no. And God goes on and on to tell us about ourselves. How can we but, oh Lord, to God be the glory. Remember the song we sing? To God be the glory, great things He has done. You see, then we give God the glory. And throughout all eternity in the new heaven and the new earth, God's people are going to magnify and glorify Him through all eternity for what He has done. You see, for what He has done. Okay, let's stop here. And anybody have a verse they want to share or comment? We stop here and then we have our second study. But let's close, please. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Thy mercy. We thank You, Lord, for saving a people for Thyself. Oh, Lord, being left to ourselves, we will never, never, never seek after Thee. Because You tell us in Your Word that there's none that seeketh after Thee. There's none that understandeth. And the picture that You paint of us in the Bible, oh, Lord, it is true. But there are many who look at themselves and say, oh, I'm not that bad. Yes, we are that bad. Because You have said it in Your Word. And, oh, Lord, we pray, oh, Lord, that Your name might be glorified. And, oh, Lord, we glorify You, O Lord, for designing such a wonderful, magnificent salvation for a people who are unworthy. And, O Lord, we thank You, O Lord, for saving a people to Thyself that will bring glory to Thee and will wait upon Thee, because all we want is for Thy perfect will to be done. We thank You, O Lord, for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.